You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to the China Shop, everyone. Get inside here. Doors are wide open for you. I'm shopkeeper Dan, and with me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How you doing today, Kyle?
I was really looking forward to today, and then now I feel like my energy's starting to wane. So maybe you can help me pick that back up.
Yeah, that's probably my fault. I've been having a weird morning. Let's see.
You're just not bringing the energy today. I'm just
not bringing the energy.
Just sucking it right out of me.
All right. Well, would it help if I give you a big promotion and make you the director of dog ventriloquism?
That would help.
All right. Hey, folks. Kyle just got a big promotion. You heard it here first. I always pretend to talk for the dogs.
Right.
And since we have dachshunds, it's always in a German accent.
Did you hear that they were putting Dutch hens on the submarines now, like to try to boost morale?
No, that's amazing.
Yeah, they're going to call them submarine wieners. I heard that on a YouTube video.
Come on into the shop with us today, folks. Sit back, relax, rage against the stock market machine. We'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way into a complete set of fine china, mostly jibber-jabbering about the news, but we still share our strategies for trying to maximize those gains and cut losses. If you are new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our Knowledge Center on financialineptitude.com or give one of our many beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description. But best place to be is to come hang out over on our Discord server. Kyle and I get on there every day, sharing our stock charts. Lately, we've been on the audio channel.
We did our Lotto Friday on there in this last week, too.
Yes, we did. And I don't remember how you did, but I did pretty good.
I did good until I gave back half of it, but we'll get to that.
We'll get there. So when you find yourself over on that Discord server, make sure to send us a private message with your mailing address so we can send you a smash-it-yourself mug and shot glass straight from the shop. It's just an awesome place to be, always better with friends. We're just so glad you're all here today. Kyle, we got any show news going on?
Yeah, it's all the same stuff I said last week.
Oh, well.
We got Matt Rainer, Anthony Fetsy's coming up this month. We're supposed to be recording Sunday another beginner episode with a local dentist.
Oh.
We got ChangeBridge at the end of the month. I think we just scheduled another guest for the second week of November. That's Deborah Ellis.
Okay. What does she do?
I'm trying to see. Vice President of Financial Planning, Investment Advisor, Representative over at Cogent Advisors.
Oh, wow. Okay. That sounds great.
She also had history in the movie industry, so I'm actually thinking that maybe we can try to pitch our futures movie that we keep talking about.
Yeah, let's do it.
That we haven't wrote yet.
Yeah. I'll write a one-pager to pitch the project.
There you go. Perfect.
All right. So, yeah, a lot of exciting guests coming up. Really looking forward to ChangeBridge. Now I'm looking forward to Deborah. Oh, yeah. Good stuff. We have a flurried, frenzied, frantic show for you today, folks. Lots of market-moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than a mouse in a cheese shop.
Nah.
I told you it was cheesy.
Yeah, very.
I warned you.
What is with the terrible jokes today?
Yeah, I'm on my C game, Kyle. I'm not even on my B game today.
Oh, not even you. I mean, I'd let off of one. Let's get to the bet results. Let's move this thing along before we lose everybody.
All right. Folks, reach out to us. We love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook. Love you on the Discord. If you're old school, you can send us an email to the2bulls@financialneptitude.com, or you can always give us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you've got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made, or maybe you got bit by a radioactive spider and you're struggling to come to terms with being a hero. It doesn't matter. We love it when you reach out.
All right, let's move on.
All right, yeah, it's time to talk about some news.
Let's do it.
Well, it's all for the money. Tune to the show. Need a good story so my margin grows, or won't you? Listen to all our news. You might learn some things with the China Shop Market News.
Well, who wants to lead off?
I think you've got the bigger story.
Well, the bigger one that I want to talk about is about this whole Citadel Robinhood saga that's been going on. It's starting to make a resurgence in the media circles. Let's see, because there's a big court case going on. So now there's actual court documents actually confirming that Citadel and Robinhood did have communications with each other, and looks like that those communications indicate Citadel applied pressure on Robinhood.
Okay. So it's been a while since we've talked about this. So let's back up a little bit.
Yes.
What we're talking about here is at the beginning of the year when Robinhood shut down the buy side for GameStop stock. Mm-hmm. Longtime listeners will remember how upset we were because it ruins the whole auction market. It's literally mass manipulation of the market. You can't buy any more of this stock.
And with Citadel being a market maker and also a hedge fund where it was taking out, I think was one of the main companies that was shorting GameStop during this time. Like the whole thing just looked really dirty. Robinhood gets a lot of its income from Citadel through its payment for order flow.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just a whole mess. And then now Citadel is taken to Twitter to try to defend itself with claims like showing interviews of the director Ken Griffin. When he was doing his hearings, he's saying that he testified truthfully that he had never spoken with Tenev and blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to take your word for it, Citadel.
Oh, he claimed he never spoke to the CEO of Robinhood?
Yeah, and maybe they didn't, but that doesn't mean they didn't speak to somebody at Robinhood.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find some of these quotes here. Okay, so James Swartout, the president and COO, says, let's see, when was this? This was a day or two before, I think, the actual day they shut everything down. Said that he said this in a Slack meeting. You wouldn't believe the convo we had with Citadel. Total mess. And then a few hours later, that's when the SEC email was received. And then shortly after that, GME buying was suspended.
The conversation with Citadel.
Right after he mentioned that they had a conversation. And then what's also kind of fucked up about this whole thing was that the NSCC relaxed the requirements, the holding requirements, or the, I guess you'd call it margin.
Yeah.
Basically the collateral requirements, that they relaxed that prior to the 28th open. So they really didn't have a need to suspend it anymore at that point.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a little bit more. There was a tweet that Trace Trades threw out that had that's been going around on social media too. Let me see if I can pull that up. Let's see. Robinhood knew at the highest levels the company risk management system strained to the breaking point to the week of the 25th. Securities president, CEO, swore out a ton of points to his making the ultimate call. Says in an internal chat on the 26th, I sold my AMC today. FYI, tomorrow morning we're moving GME to 100%, so you are aware. President and COO liquidated his AMC holdings 2 days before they made the decision to restrict everything.
Yeah, AMC was one of the ones that you couldn't buy when you couldn't buy GME.
Yeah, AMC, GME, Nokia, and BlackBerry. All those were changed to closing positions only.
And they sold all theirs before that happened.
Well, the president did, and then told everyone he did, and then gave him the heads up that they're moving GME to 100% margin requirement.
So just to really spell it out, what we've learned in auction theory, the basics, more buyers than sellers, it goes up, more sellers than buyers, it goes down. Well, if you don't let there be buyers, what's going to happen to that stock price?
Right. You know, well, just this line saying that he sold his AMC, told everyone that they're moving it to 100% margin requirements. That means that you can't margin it to purchase more. Like, that's huge news.
Yeah.
That's not available to the public at that point, I'm guessing. I mean, that to me looks a lot like insider trading.
It's exactly insider trading on a company that facilitates trading.
Right.
You know, you can't get more insider than that. Hey, we're going to shut down the buy side. I moved out of mine. Just FYI.
That wasn't shutting down the buy side, what you're saying there. He was saying that they were increasing the margin requirements for trading that stock. So that was actually 2 days before they restricted the buying completely. Mm. It's just a huge mess right now.
Yeah, any way you look at it. I mean, imagine if they shut down the sell side, how fast the stock would move up. Right. Serious, yeah.
And then didn't I also say something too that like when Citadel opened up some offices over in Asia, they were like kicked out of a country because they basically crashed one of their markets by doing some crazy manipulation.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were banned from like Hong Kong or China or somewhere around there for 5 years after doing something to some market.
You know, and I'm reminded of something George Carlin said. I think he was on Bill Maher. They were talking about conspiracies, and he pointed out, he's like, look, people with the same interests don't have to get together behind closed doors to talk about it. They all have the same interests. They're going to work together without coordination. They don't need to, like Ken Griffin didn't need to call up the Robinhood CEO and lay out what was happening. They both were already on the same page.
I don't know. I think Citadel needed a lot more. I think they did pressure.
Oh, I'm sure they did, but I'm just saying,
I don't know that necessarily Ken Griffin put his name on everything.
Right.
But he
right.
doesn't have to.
That's what I'm saying. That's, like the interests align. The
boss. Yeah. As the boss, you say, you tell somebody else to go do it, so that way you can step back and be like, I never said anything about that.
Oh, yeah, I never talked to him. I mean, my five assistants did constantly, but not me.
At my direction.
Oh, man, it's just messy, and it really, to me, speaks to the dishonesty of a business ideology here of Robinhood. Mm-hmm. Like, they open up, I mean, they're called Robinhood. They're like, yeah, that guy that stole from the rich and gave to the poor, we're here to let everybody trade, right? And really, we're here to let everybody trade through our market makers to guarantee profit through order flow.
They're more like the Sheriff of Nottingham because they're obscenely taxing the poor.
My the big story for me is the global supply chain. Mm-hmm. It's still a wreck. Remember, we had that Suez Canal backup.
Is that what's causing all this still? Is it all still backup from that?
No, I don't think this is the Suez Canal. I think that hurt things more than the world realized.
So what's causing these backups now?
Labor shortages.
Really?
The demand for goods according to Business Insider, the demand for goods is surging, and the world still can't get enough people to work right now. The ports in LA and New York, it looks like the cargo ships that anchor there, they're estimated to be waiting up to 4 weeks before they can dock to unload.
Jesus.
So yeah, this labor crunch and increased demand. So like they're trying to get more stuff. They're trying to put more things through the ports and they have less people working to move them through. So it's hitting them both directions.
Well, it sounds like if you're looking for work, if you want to go work one of these ports, you probably name your price.
If you're in LA or New York, right?
Jeez.
Yeah, we've got record numbers of cargo ships stuck at ports. They've got full of like clothing, electronics, toys, furniture. Christmas isn't looking good.
This seems like one of those things too that's not going to get better anytime soon. Like the longer it goes on, the worse it's going to get.
Yeah.
Unless people have different ports they can go to.
Hey, we're going to start seeing cargo ships going up the Mississippi.
Houston's a pretty big port for that reason. New Orleans.
Yeah.
Maybe they start to see more business.
Well, we know from that last week talking about the Costco stuff, we know Costco has actually rented container shipping ships for themselves.
I saw that, yeah.
They're like, fuck it, we'll get our own ships.
Smart.
I wonder what ports they're going to.
I don't know.
Yeah, so bottleneck supports beginning to spark concerns that Christmas is not going to be so merry because there just won't be stuff to buy, which you know, inflation is already increasing prices of things.
Oh God, that's going to make it even worse.
Now supply and demand is having its say, and that we know supply and demand is the main force in pricing.
Does anyone know what the number one toy is going to be this year? It's like, if we can get on that Tickle Me Elmo craze now, if we can identify the one that's going to be, might be able to make a little bit of money.
I honestly don't know what the kids are into these days.
Me neither. All right. Well, you hinted at the next thing I wanted to talk about, and that was the MJ.
Yes.
Looks like the bill to repeal that has finally passed the House committee, but it still hasn't been voted on in the House and still has to make it through the Senate. Now, the Democrats do have, you know, the tie-breaking vote in the Senate, but, you know, elections should be coming up pretty close here for, or pretty soon here, right, for the midterms. Like, they're running out of time to try to push this thing through if they're going to do it. They got, what, another year?
Yeah.
Like, if this thing's going to happen, it needs to happen soon, I think.
Yeah. So it's moved out of committee, which means they're going to vote on it soon. That's one of the reasons why I was looking to move back in to YOLO for her, because it's one of her long positions. But I was like, why sit in a long position when I can look at the chart and I know what it's doing.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead. If it breaks through this level, you know, I did it like we talked about on the futures, like, you know, you put your stop just under where you think it's going to catch.
Yep.
And if it doesn't catch there, then you want to get out. So, I mean, I didn't buy at the bottom around 16, but, you know, if I'd known what I know now, she would have been sold out of it in like 25. But
right.
But I think now's the time to get back in, because I don't want to miss the bounce from the good news. If this passes, just passing the House is going to bounce marijuana stocks.
Well, it's not the first time it's passed that, has it? I mean, hasn't the House proposed this a few different times?
Yes, but never. Okay, I don't know if the House has ever passed the bill.
I feel like they might have before, but they've never had a chance to actually get through the Senate, though.
Yeah.
I thought they had their best chance this year, but I'm still doubtful that it'll actually happen until, after talking to, what was it, Jennifer Beck we had on?
Oh, from Jihee?
Yeah, when she was telling us about all the money that the governments are taking from the way that the, God, what was it?
Oh, the way that all the banking is structured.
Yeah, because they can't offset losses. And if they were to repeal the prohibition, then that would change that tax law for them and allow them to be able to, like, write off the expenses and losses.
Right, right.
Now they're taxed on the gross revenue, not the net. If that was to change, then that's a lot of money that a lot of these places are going to lose, a lot of these states that depend on this income.
Strange how we're at this point in marijuana where it's the taxation that is gumming up the works.
Yeah. We don't want to make it legal because we're going to lose money. What?
Right?
On these legal sales.
Right, fucking wild. But anyway, yeah. So I continue to be long term bullish on marijuana, and this could be a nice turning point. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm still trading it with some stop losses because, you know, the news comes out negative,
right?
And it might fall back to last November.
I know. All right. What else you got for news?
Okay. So yeah, I came across, you know, long time listeners know my hatred of Facebook and all things Facebook. Came across a story that on Business Insider, an opinion piece that referenced two other stories. So we had just had two major Facebook exposés published by New York Times and Wall Street Journal talking about internal Facebook communications and data showing that Facebook has known for years how it causes users harm, but does not change. Now, I don't know if you remember, this summer, Facebook disabled the accounts of several academics at the New York University that were studying how Facebook amplified misinformation.
I did not know that. Really?
Yeah, they shut down their accounts.
For what reason?
Oh, they said it was, they were protecting its users' privacy.
What?
And obeying, and they had to shut down those accounts, Kyle, because they were obeying a commitment it made to the FTC, which, top FTC official publicly disputed.
Oh God.
Yeah. So they wanted to shut. They did. They shut down all the academics studying it because they're like, don't tell people how we spread misinformation. and I've I don't know how it's going to affect the stock price, but I can't imagine going forward that the press for Facebook is going to get better.
Right. It's just gotten too big. Its platform is on thin ice as that line between publisher and just, want to know what their argument is, that they're not a publisher, is getting blurred.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. Another part of the story was talking about a Facebook spokesperson on Twitter. So Facebook was like, when the New York Times was coming at them and talking about how they promote themselves,
mm-hmm.
the Facebook threw some shade. It was like, oh, that's kind of like the New York Times uses the New York Times to promote the New York Times. And in another, in response to the criticism of Facebook's proposed Instagram for Kids service, the Times itself published a kids section aimed at 8 to 13-year-olds. The reporter noted that the Times kids section wasn't harming teenage girls' self-image and questioned why Facebook was subtly comparing itself to a publisher. as they certainly control what appears in its pages and often endorses political candidates. Yeah, so now they're not a publisher, but they'll compare themselves to a publisher in a second.
Right.
And what's crazy is there was a guy in 2014, a Harvard professor, that gave a talk of what if Mark Zuckerberg decided to choose the next presidential candidate.
I mean,
and that was 2014.
He kind of did, didn't he?
Well, well, the Cambridge Analytica, we know they certainly tried, but not succeeded.
Well, I mean, what year did Trump win?
2016.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say probably did win.
You know, and in 2016 is when I broke ties with Facebook because I was the victim of misinformation. And it wasn't stuff I agreed with, right?
Mm-hmm.
This stuff would appear, these news articles would appear in my feed, and I'd be like, ah, see, you're proving how I already feel right, and I would share it, and then somebody would say, hey, wait, I don't know if that's accurate. Then I would fucking do research and be like, wow, this article is bullshit.
Right.
It's just telling me what I want to hear.
It just puts you in a giant echo chamber, because it's all about trying to get you to click on something.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So... fucking, I don't know. I feel like the heat is starting to get turned up on Facebook, and we could see regulations. We could see them broken apart into separate entities. I would not be having Facebook as a part of my long-term portfolio.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And looking at their stock chart on the daily, they have dipped below their 100-day EMA. So
it looks like they finally just broke their bullish trend.
Yes, they have made almost a second lower low.
Yep.
Yeah. So going forward, I could see this company getting regulated to death.
Yeah.
So watch out.
All right. Last thing before we move on here, I just want to throw in the latest bit of Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos feud update.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently Elon Musk has overtaken Bezos as the world's richest man and is now planning on sending Jeff a... silver medal and a giant statue of the number two. So, didn't we just have him talking about how he didn't care about money? What were we just talking about that like a few months ago?
Yeah, he said that earlier this year, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody who doesn't care about money, he sure talks about it a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. You know what? I honestly think of it like if I were... hoarding red bricks, and I had 3,000 of them stacked up behind my garage, and somebody said, Dan, you must really like bricks. I don't give a shit about fire red bricks. I don't care about it. I don't care.
I need them to do my job.
I just want more.
Oh, God. There's another comment I missed on this, and there, when Bezos's Blue Origin protested NASA's decision to award the $2.9 billion contract to SpaceX to land humans on the moon, on Twitter, Musk tweeted them and said, can't get it up, in parentheses, to orbit, LOL.
Oh, that's some class A trolling right there.
It really is. It really is. Like, this is cyberbullying. We're just talking about it. Elon Musk is cyberbullying Bezos. Like, I think I flipped on who the supervillain is. Like, I think Elon Musk might actually be the supervillain. Bezos is just the guy trying to do his job.
If Elon Musk had an industrial accident, we would no longer question whether or not he's a supervillain. Like, imagine a big scar across one of his eyes leading from his forehead down to his chin.
Right.
And then like, oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, that's the villain right there.
Elon Tusk. All right, let's get this show moving.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you proudly by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage and Equal Housing Lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners, whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even those crazy reverse mortgages, Sue will help. She's licensed in 27 states. Even if she's not licensed in your state, you should reach out. She probably knows somebody who is or could get licensed herself. We don't know. She's a go-getter and a half. See what Sue can do for you. Best way to reach her is to just give her a call at 520-977-7904. Or you can shoot her an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Reach out to Sue for all your mortgage needs.
And Two Bulls in a China Shop is also a proud affiliate of the Trade Pro Academy. Trade Pro Academy is an educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. Translation? It's a lot of words, Dan.
A lot of words. Translation? Trade like the big institutional money.
That's right. They've got a great staff of highly knowledgeable and successful traders. And we know because we talk to them all regularly. And we found that there's no better place that we've found to learn all you need to know to be a successful trader. Find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the episode description, as that's a great way to support the show and improve your own knowledge and skills.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's been no better place that we've found that can teach you what you need to know to read a stock chart and figure out what's going on, where to get in, where to get out.
Yep.
All that great knowledge.
Uh-huh. 100%.
I got some ass-kissing stuff for them, but I'll save it for the month in review.
Yeah, me too.
Let's move on. Let's talk about some crypto.
All right. You've got the stories, because I got nothing.
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency.
Okay, well, the one that that made me chuckle, the headline is, President of El Salvador announces volcano-powered crypto mining operation has generated $269 in Bitcoin.
Oh, well, that's it? How much did that facility cost to set up?
It does not say. I have a feeling they had already set up the geothermal power plant, and they just switched over to using that power to mine crypto. But So since they made it their legal tender, they've mined $269.
They call it the volcanoed.
yeah, the volcanoed. It's officially operating. El Salvador has spent $225 million.
Okay, well, to be fair, that's still their testing and installation, so it's not running at full capacity yet.
Right.
Okay, thank God.
thank God. El Salvador has invested $225 million in Bitcoin. They've stockpiled 550 bitcoins because they want to cement the country as the world leader in crypto. But I just think it's really funny that they're crowing about $269. Like, look, we proof of concept. We made money. Ha ha.
Is that profit or is that just all that they generated?
Oh, it doesn't say. That's a good question.
It doesn't look like profit. It looks like they just generated a plum total. Yeah, they only generated. Okay, no, I don't think that's profit yet. What was the other story you had? Because that was the one I wanted to hear more about, the crypto trading hamster.
Oh, yes, Mr. Gox.
Mr. Gox.
They're G-O-X-X.
Oh, okay, I see. So, yeah, he runs on the wheel and that selects a different crypto asset, and then he has a tunnel to decide whether to buy or sell it.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's
fucking hilarious.
That's the gist. some guy has set up his hamster environment so his hamster can randomly choose cryptos. He runs on the wheel. When he runs on the wheel will stop on a crypto asset, and then if depending on which tube he runs into or which end of the tube he runs into afterwards is buy or sell.
Yeah, the best part is, what's his performance to date?
September 29th, career performance up 3.5%. It was a lot higher when all the news came out.
Oh, yeah.
September 29th at 16.6%.
At September 12th, it was almost 20%.
Yeah. So he's pulling back, but he's been doing pretty good.
At that point, he was outperforming Bitcoin, NASDAQ 100, and Berkshire Hathaway, and the S&P 500.
Yes. Yes. It's a really fun account. You can follow him on Twitter at Mr. Gox, MRGOXX. Also has a Twitch TV channel, so you can tune in and watch him find his trades live. I really wanted there to be a reliable update because I wanted to start trying to beat the hamster instead of random. But
I don't think that's gonna work.
unless Kyle, we get a hamster for the China shop.
Do you want to take care of a hamster?
No.
No, me neither. I have two cats. They wouldn't last long.
All right. Well, if we can think of a way to make your cats randomly pick stocks, let's do that.
I probably could, but I probably could figure something out. All right. Did it.
I think that that we did it. All right. Good job. Another episode. Folks, thanks for joining us and sticking around through the end. We'll be coming back at you next week with those bet results. And we got a month in review coming up. We might be eating spicy things then.
Probably not that day, but we'll probably be planning it out for next month.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have a date for that soon.
Yes.
And until next time, folks, happy trades.
Bye, folks. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.